from the Duck South Studios in Morgan City, Mississippi.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
I want to punch you in the face so bad right now.
This is the On the X podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
Give the governor a harumph.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Today's episode is brought to you by Advantage Multi from Bayer. Advantage Multi is veterinarians' number one choice in the prevention of heartworms, fleas, roundworms, hookworms, and whipworms. Treats and controls sarcoptic mange. Make sure your dog is protected by using Advantage Multi.
I said what I said and I'll stand by it to the death.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
And now, here are your hosts, J. Paul Jackson.
You just love to hear yourself talk, don't you? Even when you're not saying anything.
Rocky LaFleur.
Yo, Adrian! I did it!
Houston Kennedy.
Please, Houston, we have a problem.
And Josh Webb.
Coons. Well, raccoon's trying to get on our back porch. Mama just chased him off with a broom.
Hey, guys. Welcome to this week's edition of the On the X podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com. Now, this week, we're coming to you from the studios in Morgan City. We have our entire crew here, myself, J. Paul Jackson, co-host Rocky LaFleur, Houston Kennedy, and Josh Webb. And also, from the very beginning of the podcast this week, we're going to be joined by a very special guest, Mr. B.C. Rogers of Wren and Ivy Frame from down in the Delta of Mississippi. B.C., great to have you with us today, and all you other guys, too.
Thank you, J. Paul. Appreciate you having us on.
Oh, man, I tell you what, we've been running a little bit light with our co-host the last couple of weeks. I know, Houston, you hadn't been able to make it for a couple.
You're just saying that because I'm fat and I'm heavy. Just don't lie. Just said that because I'm fat and heavy.
He'd love to. Yeah, you know, my daddy always told me I ought to date fat girls because they'd keep you warm in the winter, shaded in the summer, and there'd be a whole lot less competition for them, too.
and they wouldn't win any beauty pageants, would they, BC?
Oh, now see, don't you start with me, Rocky LaFleur.
Let me give you a fat little fact about BC that you don't know.
Oh,
BC
is a
beauty extraordinaire. He is one of the top pageant judges in the state of Mississippi. You didn't know that, did you?
Gentlemen, y'all don't worry. I'm not going to make you call me Your Honor or anything like that. I don't like to be formal about it. The truth of that story is, and you're going to have to let me tell it now that you brought it up. I was invited by a friend judging the Miss Catfish Festival pageant in Belzona, Mississippi. When was it, Rocky? 5, 6, 7 years ago. And I said, you know what? That's a great thing for my resume. I'm going to do that. And it just turns out that I run into my friend, Rocky LaFleur, and he won't let me forget it.
was he there as a spectator, or was he actually competing in the Miss Catfish contest?
Well, his sister-in-law actually won Miss Catfish that year, but I didn't. There was no nepotism. I didn't know that he was that she was his sister-in-law at the time. So, did I get that right, Rocky?
Now, you took a $100 bill from me, and I thought that's what it was for.
No, man, I take money from anybody that's
kidding. I'm just kidding.
Man, Rocky, that is low, low, low. Now, after the fact, some years later, to say that, there are going to be people out there, you know, this conversation earlier in the week about people jumping on anything they could. And so, you know, there's going to be somebody that listens to this podcast that's going to say, yeah, man, B.C. Rogers, he threw that thing for Rocky's sister-in-law for $100 bill.
This is all in jest, all in jest. And I was very honored to be to oversee the proceedings of the Miss Catfish Festival of whatever year it was. So, no, please do not post anything about that.
I did not see BC or know BC was judging that contest till probably 2 hours after it was over with.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, and I will say this. For BC, I will say this on his behalf. I have met his beautiful wife. If there's anybody qualified to judge a pageant of that nature, I would say BC is definitely qualified.
Well, thank you, Jay Paul. I'll tell Kim you said so.
Well, guys, did you know that it is Happy Internet Day, Internaut?
No, I did not know that.
25 years ago today, we got the Internet.
Hey, and 2 days ago, Obama gave it to the United Nations, too, so let's just go ahead and celebrate that.
So are we a better-off society because now we have the Internet? Or are we better off before we had the Internet?
Well, I was 2 when this came about 25 years ago, so I can't really speak to that.
Jay Paul?
Yeah, Jay Paul, well, the elder.
There we go. Just because I'm the oldest, guys. Okay, so I've lived half of my life with the Internet and half of my life without it, and I can tell you that it kind of goes back to that deal at the Whataburger in Jackson, Mississippi a few weeks ago. It's like asking, are we better off with calculators or without them? You know, we've got a whole generation of kids that can't add without a calculator. They can't do simple mathematics in their head. And we've got a whole generation of kids, you know, don't know how to do research anyway other than to Google it. I don't think that we're any better off with or without it. No, it's just one of those things that's kind of convenient when you need it. But, hey, I survived half my life without it and would have been just fine, I think, had it never come along.
I'll tell you a fascinating statistic. Employers lose 2 work hours per person on average per day at a workplace because of the Internet presence and people using the Internet for personal use. That is a lot of money being stolen from employers.
I have an opposite to that, though, Rock. How much more time is gained by being able to do things on the Internet than having to make phone calls and do all these other things? Think about how much email has become made business more efficient.
Yeah, I mean, as a restaurant owner a few years ago, up until a few years ago, you know, that was a big thing, bringing cell phones into the restaurant and using them. You know, they would sneak back to the dish room and check their social media.
Here's where I think that a lot of people don't talk about losing time. It's when people go to the bathroom, they take a little bit longer in the bathroom than they normally would with their cell phones. I've got a buddy doing a dissertation on that time, trying to calculate the time lost compared to when people used to go to the bathroom without cell phones with Internet and with cell phones with Internet.
I guess we need to do a comparison with proctologists because hemorrhoid should be up if you sit on the toilet a long time.
You know what, though? Honestly, I can tell you as a registered nurse, there is some merit to that. The longer you spend sitting on the toilet, the more likely you are to have hemorrhoids. That's just an interesting aside there. But I've got to go back, you know, and amend what I said earlier, thanks to something that Houston just said. I would say overall, when you consider email and the efficiency that it's given us and some things that I'm able to do in business now thanks to the Internet that I couldn't do during that first half of my life, yeah, it probably has increased overall efficiency and benefited us in some ways.
Yeah, I'll say from a Ren and Ivy perspective, our ability to be in contact with our customers directly, you know, and have relationships with them individually as if they had come into our physical location in Madison, Mississippi. You know, I have a one-on-one interaction with just about everybody who buys anything from Ren and Ivy or most of them, and that's through social media. I mean, email is one thing, but through social media, I mean, these guys send me pictures of them using the gear. When I see them at shows or run into them from I was walking out of the gym yesterday. Yes, Rocky, I go to the gym. A guy came up to me and said, "Hey, man, I'm so and so," and I knew him because of our relationship through social media and him buying products from us. And I'll say that I think we're able to do a better job with our customers because of it. So that's a positive, I would say.
You know, BC, I know that you are a big duck hunter and you're very traditional in your duck hunting, but you're also a big SEC football fan, aren't you?
Well, I don't know about big SEC football fan, but I certainly have my opinion.
Well, let's hear one right quick.
Oh, I don't know. I think we're in for a great year, if that's what you're asking. You know, all the great thing about SEC football this year is that everybody that matters is going to play each other one way or the other. So, I don't know. Josh, what do you think?
Well, I'm a big football fan, and I really, truly try not to pick favorites. But one game that I really wish I could go to, and on top of I've never been to a Tennessee game, but I really wish I could make the time and get tickets to go to the game when they play at Bristol Motor Speedway, because that would be a cool atmosphere to be in. And on top of that, it's a college football game there. I think they're calling for battle at Bristol. I can't even remember who they're playing, but me and my brother-in-law were talking about that. That would be a really, really cool atmosphere to be in.
They're playing Virginia Tech. I saw where they were laying the gravel this week for that.
Okay, I couldn't remember who it was, but that would be really – I mean, any college football game atmosphere is fun, but I think playing it in that type of location would really, really amplify things.
BC, you just said that everybody that matters is playing each other. That means everybody's getting to play Alabama, right? Because they're the only ones that matter.
Well, I don't know if I would agree with that statement, Houston, but I will say that by October 1st, we'll know whether my Rebels are what I think they are. So we'll just leave it at that.
I agree.
You know, of course, everybody, I mean, Alabama's always picked to win the SEC and certainly picked number one in the West. But, you know, LSU's going to play Florida. Florida is, I think last time I looked, is picked second in the East. Tennessee is going to play Alabama. Tennessee, everybody, and I don't know if Tennessee is as good as everybody says they are. We'll find out. But they're going to play Alabama, and so there's a matchup there. Ole Miss is going to play Georgia, and Georgia's picked third in the East last time I looked. So, you know, all of the top three teams in the East and the West are going to play each other in some way or another. And, yeah, of course, in the SEC, you can usually just toss it up in the air, with the exception of a few powerhouse teams. But I love the way Ole Miss's schedule is set up. Because we're gonna play two top five teams in the first three games, and so we'll know where we stand come October. It's I like that we're swinging for the fences.
I think that your judgment of the Ole Miss Rebels is as good as your beauty pageant judging that I've seen in the past.
Well, wait a minute now. So that means it's really good, because I picked your sister-in-law as the winner, I think. So better be careful there. I don't.
That's right.
But let me tell you Houston's prediction to me last night. We were on the phone last night, and he had the nerve, after getting beat by Ole Miss two times in a row as an Alabama fan, to predict that Alabama was going to beat Ole Miss by 40.
If they got Dean Jones by Florida State.
Did you say by 40?
Yes.
If they get dinked up by
40.
No. I'm very 40. Respectful of the very impressive program that you guys have over there in Alabama, but come on, man. The great news is, and that's the fabulous thing about SEC football, is we all get to find out every Saturday, one at a time.
Hey, amen, Houston. Brother.
Hey, Houston, your employer needs to check your tighter insider time that you're putting in at work. I think you're spending way too much time on tighter insider.
I will have you know that my subscription ran out last week. Thank you very much.
Yeah, right. Well, let me interject something here. You know, one thing's for certain: there are going to be a lot of teams beating up on each other this year in the SEC because of the way the schedules lie. And that's the way it always is. I think that, on those years, a lot of years when an SEC school is not there, and it's very rare, but when one's not in the national championship game, it's because, we spend so much time beating up on each other. But while we've got you on here, BC, I would like to hear your opinion as an Ole Miss fan on something. You know, your products are made for guys that really like tradition, and they're very old school. And as an Ole Miss fan, we were discussing Sunday the fact that Dixie will no longer be played during the football games. It's an official thing now. What is your response to that?
Well, that's a pretty political question. The reality of where we live is that I actually play from Dixie with love every Saturday morning as loud as I can turn it up, whether I'm in my truck, if I'm in Oxford, or at home. I turn on the indoor and outdoor speakers and turn it up as loud as I can, because I've certainly never been offended by from Dixie with love or Dixie, the one that they've now said we can't play. I understand that, or I've been told that people are offended by that, and I really regret that. I think that probably means that those of us that probably on this call, and certainly myself, have not done a very good job of explaining why that is precious to us. Because if those people who are offended knew why we were so moved by those songs, they wouldn't be offended. So I will miss those songs. I'm sorry. I really am. I'm really sorry that anything that I love that much would ever offend anybody. And I wish that we had done a better job at not letting. I think that the idiots have hijacked a lot of our symbols, and I don't think that those of us who don't feel that way, the negative connotations that have to do with those symbols and songs, I don't think we did a very good job of representing our side of that, and I'll miss it. So that's my answer, and I'm going to still keep playing from Dixie with love every Saturday morning during football season.
BC, that was very well said. I think you put it as well as anyone could. Definitely, we've probably done a really, really poor job educating the public on why Dixie is so close to us, because, it's just not a symbol like some of the other things are of the Confederacy. Dixie is more a Southern thing, and that was very, very well spoken. Time to do a little housekeeping here, too, by the way, folks. This first portion of the podcast has been brought to you by our friends at Hardcore Brands and Hardcore Decoys, makers of the most innovative and functional products out there for waterfowlers. It's not easy being hardcore. By the way, for our listeners that aren't familiar with Wren and Ivy, and it's Wren spelled like the bird, W-R-E-N, Wren and Ivy is a neat little company that BC and Kim started. It's actually named after their children, Wren and Ivy. And you need to be sure and Google it and check it out. BC is making some classic old world, if you will, style hunting bags, gun slings. He's even got a really cool DOP kit on there. All this stuff is made by hand. The leather is hand tooled. The quality is exceptional. But one of the things that BC has done is, he has integrated extreme functionality into these. I mean, his pieces are really a piece of art, and they look like something that would have been made by, somebody like Filson 50 years ago, but they have 21st century features to them. So, for our guys listening that don't know what Wren and Ivy is, you guys need to check it out. And so there's a little plug for you too, BC. But yeah, I can see how it would help the business there.
Thank you, Jay Paul. I appreciate it. Yeah, it really has.
The other day, you and I were talking about, I know that the Wren and Ivy name comes from your kids, but on the logo part of it, you're telling me all the symbolism in it. Will you explain that to us and all the listeners on how you came about getting that logo? Because that is a really, really cool feature.
Well, thanks. I really wanted our corporate identity to represent what we're trying to do as a company, and
So Ren is my 3-year-old daughter. Ivy is BC the fourth, Ivy, and he's 16 months old. When we did the logo, if you're listening to this, you can Google Ren and Ivy, or you can go to renandivy.com. You'll see the logo at the top of the page. You'll see the Ren, a picture of the bird, and she's represented, that represents my daughter. She's surrounded by the ivy, which represents her brother protecting her. And then she's actually resting on three petals that represent the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then the text of the font of our logo, we base that on the U.S. currency font. So it's, you know, hopefully represent prosperity. And then the W is the victory W. You see the VW from World War II. So just a lot of little symbolism in the logo to try to represent what we're doing as a company.
That is a really cool story. And I particularly really like the part about the three petals representing the Trinity, because obviously any success we have comes through God's grace. And I think that's pretty dadgum cool, BC.
Oh, well, I mean, thank you, J. Paul. It's something when Kim and I started out and decided to do this, you know, obviously because we couldn't find exactly what we wanted to take in the field. You know, we tried to do the things that I think our customers appreciate attention to detail, and we wanted to take that from the first thing that we did all the way into all the products and even back to how we work with our customers after the sale, offering our lifetime guarantee. You can contact us at any time, and we'll either repair or replace anything you buy from us.
I know that when we talked, you know, BC, before, you talked about everything was every product is handmade. Am I correct on that?
Sure. Yeah, we don't hand make the T-shirts, but yeah, all of our leather and canvas products are handmade one at a time. Wax twill canvas, solid brass hardware, vegetable tan bridal leather. So we basically just went back and found those products that things have been made out of for hundreds of years, found the best suppliers of those individual products, and made our designed and made our products around those. So, you know, hopefully, our company motto is leave a legacy. And we say that because we hope that these products you'll be able to hand them down to for generations.
BC, I know you grew up hunting an area relatively close to here where myself and Rocky live. Can you tell me what it was like back when you first started hunting and how important it was for that have that relationship with your dad and those older guys in the camp from that point and then now today with those relationships, how they've grown?
Sure, yeah. I was just telling somebody this earlier today. Because of the classic nature of our Ren and Ivy products, I've had to sort of think to myself, why am I so drawn to classic gear, and why have I always been drawn to that classic gear? I really think it's because when I take our fouling piece case and I take it out of my truck and walk down the boat dock and put it in the boat, I think about my dad and those guys and the gear that they had and how much pride they took in it and them going to field and teaching me not just how to hunt ducks or deer or rabbits or squirrels back then but the ethics that are associated with the sporting lifestyle. I think that when you're a child and you certainly are a child, but your dad trusts you with a firearm. He puts you in a duck blind with his buddies, and you're expected to act like a grown-up, a man or a woman, because you're holding a dangerous weapon, and you either get to act like an adult or you don't get to participate. And so it gave me a relationship with my dad early on, who is my business partner, not in Ren and Ivy, but in some other adventures. it gave me a relationship with my father where I didn't have, we had something beyond the my father was not lording over me. We were a team together. And I think that that was because of that sporting lifestyle and the ethical code that is sort of inherent in it. That's not always the case, but I know all of you on this call, and I know that that's exactly the way you feel about your time outdoors. But yeah, those days are precious, and I think that's why I'm so drawn to classic gear like we've been able to create with Ren and Ivy.
That's really cool, and you know, I think that for most of us that are waterfowlers, particularly us guys that are baby boomers or Gen X guys, that thread of having somebody like your father that brought you into it like that, it definitely rings out to all of us. And speaking of your products and your super cool blind bags, we're coming to the end here now, BC, and it's kind of become our tradition here on the On the X podcast powered by DuckSouth.com to ask our guest every week, what's going to be in your blind bag if we come hunting from you and with you and take a peek inside there?
Oh man, that's a great question. I've listened to the podcast, and I'm sorry that I didn't prepare better for that question. But we found in doing our focus groups and product evaluation that there are two kinds of guys. There's real organized guys like me that like to be prepared, and my wife would say I'm a prepper. I like to have anything I could possibly need, right? And then there's guys that we affectionately call the dumpers, and they want to take a box of shells and a handful of stuff and just dump it in the bag. You know, our bags are designed where you can do either one. But my bag, personally, to answer your question, I really have just about anything you can imagine. Matter of fact, there's a post on our Facebook page. Some of my buddies put me up to making a list of all of the stuff that's in my blind bag, because they would give me such a hard time about it. And you can actually go to facebook.com/ Ren and Ivy brand and find that post in the thread. And you can actually see all of the products that I have in my blind bag, my Heritage blind bag, which is the larger of the two blind bags we currently make.
ABC, all the fat boys want to know, what kind of snacks do you keep in that Ren and Ivy bag while you're duck hunting?
Nice. Okay, so there's two. There's a candy called Applet. I don't know if you guys have ever had it, but we order it by the case at the beginning of every hunting season. And my friend Charlie Bricado turned me on to it when I was a kid, and it's just a staple. And the other snack that we always carry is the Little Debbie Oatmeal Cream Pie.
Little Debbie Oatmeal Cream Pie.
That's right. That's my favorite. I mean, I'm not going to turn down a honey bun, but it's no oatmeal cream pie.
You know, we've heard just about everything on here now, but I think that's the first time I've heard the oatmeal cream pie, although I can say that I do frequently put them in my blind bag. Problem with the oatmeal cream pie is that it can be so easily crushed and that white filling smashed out of it. So having that rigid pocket is going to help protect that.
Well, you know, it's great minds think alike. Our Heritage blind bag has a reinforced pocket on the side that is a very good spot for those cream pies. And on the other side, we actually have a small insulated pocket. And I like to take a shake-up hand warmer and drop it in that pocket. And then I take my breakfast sandwich. If I'm traveling to hunt, if I'm at the camp, I'm not going to get up and make biscuit sandwiches, okay? So y'all don't expect that when you come hunt with me. But if I'm traveling, I'll stop by and get a breakfast sandwich, and I'll put it in there with that shake-up hand warmer. And actually, my breakfast will still be warm at 9 o'clock when the birds slow down flying or whenever I get hungry. So and my wife affectionately calls that the biscuit pocket.
That's really cool, the biscuit pocket. Yeah, I saw it's even got a thermal lining in it, kind of like aluminum foil to help it keep warm, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's an insulation. It's an insulated pocket. Yeah, just like a bag cooler. It's made out of the same insulation that the lining in a bag cooler is made out of.
That's really, really cool. Well, guys, I know we're about out of time here. BC, we've kept you. You know, every week when we wrap up, we go through parting thoughts with our co-hosts. So let's start with you, Josh Webb. Any parting thoughts or questions or comments?
No, I got my snack question answered for myself in Houston. So I'm good. BC, I appreciate it, man. It's been great having you here.
Oh, man, I appreciate y'all having me.
Okay, Rocky LaFleur, over to you, brother.
BC, you're a man after my own heart, man. From Dixie with Love to the Ole Miss Rebels to duck hunting to beauty pageant.
I'll take it. I'm not sure if it's a full compliment, but I'll take what I can get.
Listen, you and I would be in hog heaven if the Ole Miss Rebels played at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and we could play with From Dixie with Love and then the Miss America pageant come on at 8 o'clock.
I do not agree with that statement, Rocky. And
and then we get to get up and go duck hunting the next morning.
If I could look, if we could hang out together, that'd be great. But I don't know that the. But how about we watch the Ole Miss Rebels instead of the pageant? Like, we'll watch the replay.
I'm just picking. But you know, I didn't jump in there earlier. You know, BC talking about From Dixie with Love, and I'm going to leave one final thought with this. Is I can remember when I was a kid, no matter if Ole Miss was getting beat by 50 or 20, my dad, and that we never left the stadium until they played From Dixie with Love after the game was over with. And
yep.
It never was about Southern heritage or racism or anything like that. It was just it was a part of our lives as an Ole Miss Rebel. And it will be missed. But back to you, BC. You've got a great product. We really appreciate you coming on the podcast. And we look forward to having you back real soon. So thank you again.
You bet, man. It was a lot of fun. I knew it was going to be with this bunch of misfits. I knew I was going to have a good time talking to you guys.
Hey, this is the only podcast where hemorrhoids and a beauty pageant could be talked about in the same day.
That's just the tip of the iceberg.
Hey,
man.
I will.
Man, guys, what a great podcast we've had today. Great observations there, Rocky, too, in closing. BC, it was wonderful having you today. And as always, we hope that you guys out there listening have enjoyed this edition of the On the X podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com and brought to you by Bayer Animal Health, makers of Advantage Multi, the only heartworm preventive that's been proven to be 100% effective in the prevention of heartworms. That's all we've got for you guys today, but hope you'll be back with us next week for next Tuesday's edition of the On the X podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.